Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Interest rates are likely to go up. What does that mean for you as a consumer if you're thinking about a mortgage or buying a car? What's it going to mean in terms of your CDs and your savings accounts? Is it going to be good? Going to be bad? Do you need to develop strategies right now to deal with possible raises in the interest rates? Well, we're going to ask all of these questions to my guest. He's Greg McBride. He's the chief financial analyst for Bankrate.com. Greg, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Thank you, Shirley. Thanks for having me.
Now, it's interesting because we have been so spoiled with such low interest rates that have made so many facets of our life easier. If they start to raise, if the Fed finally starts to raise the interest rates, do you think this is going to happen?
Yeah, I think 2015 is the year where we will finally start to see the Federal Reserve start to nudge those short-term interest rates higher. But even then, I think it's going to be very modest and likely confined to the back half of the year. So, you know, when people hear about, interest rates going up or rising interest rates, I don't want people losing sleep over it because,
right.
You know, the backdrop to this is that the U.S. economy has improved to the extent where we're not as dependent and no longer dependent on those 0% interest rates that have been around since 2008. So the Federal Reserve, it's time for them to start nudging that up. That's a good thing, but it does pay for people to know that it's coming, make sure that they've taken appropriate action and adopted the proper strategies. But the impact here in 2015, I expect to be fairly minimal.
But it can have significant or at least some impact on you in terms of long-term planning. Suppose you're about to get married next year, and then you're thinking 2 years from that you're going to buy a house. Well, you may want to start looking at maybe you could afford to buy that house sooner rather than later. Would that make a difference?
I think that it's funny you use the preface that with getting married, because I often equate buying a house to getting married, and that with reasons you buy a house don't have anything to do with mortgage rates any more than the decision to get married is based on a sale at the bridal shop.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The reason that you buy a house is because something having to do with your life. Your family's
right.
growing, you're getting
right.
married, you're getting divorced, the kids are grown up and moving out, you're having more kids, you get a job transfer. Those are the reasons that people buy houses.
And generally,
you time it based upon mortgage rates. Now, mortgage rates are at low levels and very conducive to buying a home, but I think that's going to remain the case even as mortgage rates rise. They won't be an impediment to an otherwise well-qualified borrower. So I think the important things are, you make sure you got good credit, make sure you have sufficient savings, that you've paid down other debt, that you're on good financial standing, and that your life circumstances are conducive to buying a home. You don't want to buy a home if you're subject to a job transfer in 6 months or a year.
No.
But, if you're in a neighborhood with good schools and you've got young kids, that's an instance where it can make a lot of sense.
Sure. Okay, so you're saying is don't really panic about any of this because it's not going to be significant. It's going to be towards the end of the year when it does happen, and it's going to have a minimum effect on us right now. What do you think then in terms of mortgages that we just mentioned? What about if someone is thinking of refinancing their mortgage? Would they want to go ahead and go do that now?
Yeah, I think now is a great time to do that, actually, because we've seen mortgage rates pull back. We're actually at the lowest levels now that we've seen since May of 2013. Now, May of 2013 was when we had hit record lows. So there's a lot of people that may have purchased a home in the last year and a half that are now in a position to refinance, or plenty of people that missed those previous record lows. Either, maybe they were out of work or they just didn't have the equity, and now they do. They have a job or they have the equity. So great time to refinance. And even more so because that opportunity that for refinancing that exists today may not exist or be as favorable later in the year if we start to see mortgage rates move higher, as I expect we will.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think that the amount of change in the mortgage rates are going to have a significant impact on people buying homes?
No, I don't, because what gets people to buy houses is confidence in their own financial situation and optimism about where the economy is headed. Now, when mortgage rates were at their ultra-low levels, and they've been low for years, when the economy stinks, nobody wants to buy a house. It doesn't matter how low rates are.
Mm-hmm.
But when the economy's good, when people are working, and the missing ingredient is when people are seeing their incomes go up, that's what prompts people to buy houses. And it doesn't matter whether mortgage rates are at 3.75 or 4.75. If people are feeling good about their financial situations, they'll buy houses. And so I think the missing ingredient is that wage growth. We start to see that wage growth, you're going to see a lot more people coming out and starting to buy houses.
But, of course, it does make a difference in terms of what you end up paying for the house in the long run.
It does. And it
oh, yeah.
How much house you can afford.
Exactly.
But, the decision to buy a house isn't predicated on necessarily on mortgage rates if you haven't covered all those other bases.
Well, now, I would expect that this would not be a time that you would want to get an adjustable rate mortgage.
You're right. I would agree. I think that the value is very much in fixed rate mortgages. I think that the prospect going forward, we're looking at, I think, minimal increases in interest rates here in 2015. But the likelihood is that we could see a cumulative effect in looking forward into future years that is more significant. So it argues against that adjustable rate mortgage and in favor of a fixed rate mortgage. Now, there are some adjustable rate products that can actually function as a fixed rate mortgage in certain circumstances. I think that's a worthwhile consideration. Those are products where the rate is fixed for 7 years or 10 years or some even as long as 15 years before they have an adjustment. Now, that could be suited to somebody who doesn't expect to be in the home beyond that period of time.
Sure.
But you can't go wrong with your traditional 30-year fixed rate mortgage just as a level of insurance, because what you've done is you've locked in the biggest monthly payment in your monthly budget. You know it's never going to go up, and that's how you can plan around that. That's how you build financial stability, and over time, as your pay goes up but your mortgage payment doesn't, you're able to increase your lifestyle and increase your rate of savings.
But even though the interest rates are so low, it still pays to shop for a mortgage, doesn't it?
It does, because not everybody charges the same price, and you have to look beyond the interest rate also. I mean, there are fees involved in getting a mortgage, whether you're refinancing or buying a home. So you do have to shop around and compare and make sure that you're getting the best terms. We have a free search engine at bankrate.com that people can use to go through that. We'll walk them right through and getting the best terms, and then you can compare on an apples-to-apples basis to make sure that you're getting the best one for your needs. I also recommend applying with more than one lender. That way, you can truly compare not just the rate, but also the fees on a side-by-side basis. You can negotiate a little bit, make sure you're getting the best deal.
And that way you can shop around and compare. I like that idea. I like shopping around, Greg. Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Greg McBride. He's the Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate.com. And we're talking about what the probably likely interest rate raises are going to mean for us as consumers. And he seems to feel it's not going to have a significant impact. But however, we need to know and be prepared, and don't worry, as you say, don't lose any sleep over it. So we've just been talking about mortgage rates, and you mentioned home equity loans and lines of credit. You, again, don't see any changes significantly in those areas?
Now, these are products where the rate increases will follow any action by the Federal Reserve. So I expect that any movement you see in rates there will come in the back half of 2015 and be pretty minimal. I'm only forecasting about a half a percentage point increase this year from the Federal Reserve. And so, for somebody with a $30,000 home equity line of credit, it's a difference of like $12 a month. So, again, nothing to lose sleep over. However, I think it pays to be aware of it simply from the perspective of the fact that rates are going to go up. And so while rates are really low now, the rate you see today may not be the same rate you'll end up paying 2, 3, 4 years from now. You don't want to borrow a whole lot of money today in a low-rate environment, and then you end up lugging it through and paying it back in a much higher-rate environment. That's the scenario you have to be mindful of and have a game plan to protect yourself against.
Now, say that again. I don't want to borrow a lot of money now at a low rate.
Well, you don't want to borrow a whole lot of money now because rates are low, and you're looking at that rate of 3.5% and thinking, wow, that's great. And then guess what? A few years from now, that 3.5% isn't 3.5%. It's 5.5% or 6% or even 6.5%, and you're still carrying that same debt load. So yeah, that's the situation I think you want to avoid. I think if you borrow money now on a home equity line of credit and that rate is going to go up in future years because it's a variable rate product.
I see.
I think you better have a game plan for
gotcha.
Just how and when
nah,
you're
I got
that
you.
Back.
Okay.
So you're not lugging a safe through sand as interest rates go up.
Let's talk about used cars, buying new and used cars. From what I gather, about 75% of the cars that are sold on the market today are used cars, which I guess is a reflection of the recent, really, depression that we've been through. And that may or may not change. I don't know as the economy is improving. But what should consumers look for when they're shopping for a car loan? And what's the best place to start? Do you go to your bank, your credit union? Do you go to the dealer? How do you work all that, Greg?
Well, I think we want to start by going to your bank and credit union. We talked about shopping around. This is another one where you've got to do that. And then take advantage of the free search engine that we have at bankrate.com, where we can help you compare terms among lenders, both banks and credit unions in your area. And the idea here is that you want to line up financing before you go to the dealer. Look, you may get to the dealer and they've got some great offer. Fabulous. But what happens if they don't? You want to have something in your back pocket.
Right.
So, I think that's, very important. Again, it's all part of the process of shopping around. If you've got a financing offer in your back pocket when you go to the dealership, you're putting yourself in a better position.
Well, you're negotiating from a position of strength because you don't want to go walk in there, fall in love with a car, and then find out that the dealer is going to be charging you a lot higher interest rate, and then go out and try to shop around for a bank. Car may be sold while you're sitting there waiting for a loan to come through. So.
Yeah, exactly, as you said.
Yeah. So anyway, shop around. Make sure you're getting a good deal. Check that car out, especially if it's a used car. You really got to check it out. And we always recommend that people take it to a certified mechanic, have it looked over head to toe. So, and let me do a little commercial at Call for Action. We have our callforaction.org website. We have a whole section on buying a used car. All the things you need to look out for. So anyway, tell me a little bit about bankrate.com. What do you guys do, Greg? I use you. You're a fabulous source of information. But what do you do?
Well, thank you, Charlie, for the endorsement. Bankrate.com, we are a personal finance website, and we are dedicated to helping consumers make informed financial decisions. And we do that a few different ways. I've mentioned some of the free search engines that we have where you can compare terms for various financial products and make sure you're getting the best deal. But we also have articles that are published to the website every single day to help you get educated on a particular topic. And, whether it's buying that used car, getting a mortgage, whatever the case may be. What do I need to do to improve my credit? We have articles on those topics that can help you. And it's not, this is not content that's geared for experts. No, this is geared for you, me, and everybody else. This is the type of information you need to level the playing field for yourself when you're going into financial transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third component that we have on our site are calculators. We have free calculators that you can use to figure out what's the mortgage payment going to be on that house I'm looking at, or what's the monthly payment on that car loan going to be that I've got my eye on. Those kind of things. Again, all helping consumers make informed financial decisions. And everything that we have at bankrate.com is free to the consumer.
How do you feel about consumers who can afford it and they buy a house and they start making extra payments? Is this a good idea for consumers? Is it going to save them a good bit of money in the long run?
Well, it'll save them a good bit of money in the long run. It may not be the optimal move for their financial flexibility, and I'll tell you why. It's Americans are woefully undersaved for emergencies and for retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So, rather than straining to pay down a low fixed rate, oftentimes tax-deductible mortgage,
right,
the after-tax cost of this debt is very cheap. Rather than straining to pay that down, I'd rather see people fully utilize their tax advantage retirement savings options. Max
Amen.
Out the 401k, max out your IRA, pay down other high rate debt, make sure you have an adequate emergency savings cushion, put money in a 529 for your kids' college. do those things. Paying down a low fixed rate tax deductible mortgage is a very low financial priority. And yeah, it'll save you money. But look, that's not money you can get to if you need it.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
Money in the bank will pay the bills. Home equity will not.
You know, that's an excellent way of looking at it. People say, oh, I want to pay off my mortgage. Well, put that money, as you say, into savings accounts. Put it into a child's education fund. All of those things can give you tax advantages and help your, in the terms of your long-term financial security. You know, I hadn't thought about that because we are under-saving in this country, aren't we, for the emergencies?
Oh, big time. Not just the emergencies. I mean, even longer term goals like retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So getting the best return on your money, saving more is important, and then getting the best return on that money over time, both critically important to meeting those long term goals. And you know, I think that paying down a mortgage, yeah, it'll save you a lot of money in interest, but it's going to really limit your financial flexibility in the meantime. And I think you're shortchanging yourself in terms of accumulating that nest egg long term when you could be. Rather than paying down that accelerating payment on a low-rate mortgage, you could be putting that money to work in other investments that over time earn a higher rate of return and give you a larger nest egg later in life.
Yeah, and money that you can get at, you have access to. Okay, that's very good advice, Greg. Let's just take a brief pause here. Let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Greg McBride. He's the chief financial analyst for Bankrate.com. And we're talking about what the likely interest rate increase is going to mean for you as a consumer. Okay, we've talked about the strategies. We've talked about mortgages. We've talked about used cars. Let's go to credit cards, since so many of us are dependent on plastic. What do you see the changes in interest rates coming, having effect on interest on credit cards?
Well, I think that, again, you'll see pretty modest increases in rates this year in the back half of the year, maybe about half a percentage point. But yeah, I think the action step that exists right now is for those that have good credit and are looking to accelerate their debt repayment, now is the time to look at some of those low-rate balance transfer offers. I mean, there are 0% offers out there that extend as long as 18 months. So that's a great way to accelerate the repayment of your debt, do that balance transfer sooner rather than later, simply because as interest rates go up, those low-rate offers are going to be less prevalent in the marketplace.
Why do credit cards make that kind of offer? So that they're getting you as a long-term customer, and that develops loyalty, and you're going to spend money with them over time.
And that's part of it. And then part of it, too, is people will transfer that balance at that 0% rate. But, you know, these are people that, well, they've got a balance. So, you know, there's a good chance that they may go out and spend money they don't have and, you know, rack up a balance beyond that balance transfer.
Mm-hmm.
And a balance that's going to accrue interest at a much higher rate than that low rate balance transfer offer. So you have to be disciplined about how you use these. But, you know, credit cards are a wonderful thing for those that are very disciplined about their usage. For those mm-hmm. that are not, for those that are sloppy, for those that use them as a crutch to buy things they can't truly afford, you know, then it just becomes a huge cycle of debt.
Are there any loopholes you should look for if you're transferring these balances to a new card, your credit card balance to a new card?
You look out for the balance transfer fee. Typically, you're going to pay a fee of about 3% of the balance to transfer that, which is fine if you're really knocking your interest rate down. You know, that's fine, but be aware of that. And then also, that low rate offer that applies to the balance transfer, it's exactly that. It applies to the balance transfer.
Not to anything forward. Yeah.
Exactly. You go out and make purchases with that same card, well, then it's going to be a much higher interest rate. So if you're going to take advantage of one of those low-rate balance transfer offers, you want to segregate that balance and just make that just for the balance transfer on that card. Do not use it for additional purchases. And look, the cardinal rule on credit cards, pay the balance in full every month.
Yep.
If you operate by those terms, you know, credit cards are a wonderful thing. It's when you don't, when you start financing those balances at very high interest rates, that's where you run into problems.
That's when you make the credit card companies really happy.
Exactly. Although, okay. In truth, look, credit card companies
I love my credit
happy.
Cards. Are you kidding?
Credit card companies are plenty happy when people pay the balance in full every month if they're high-volume users that are, you know, generating a lot of interchange income every time they swipe the card. So, you know, look, even paying your balance in full can be a good thing, too. That's why you see so many attractive reward programs that are out there. You know, people that are high-volume, big spenders, putting it all on a credit card and paying it off at the end of the month, they're racking up a lot of rewards. And, look, the credit card issuers are plenty happy with that as well, because there's very little credit risk in it for them.
That's true, because these are good customers. Okay, what are some of the other areas? How are we going to see a change? Are we going to see, if the interest rates go up even slightly, is this going to mean we're going to get more money from our CDs and our savings accounts, or is it going to be so marginal it's not going to make it much difference because we don't get much on them now?
Yeah, I'm afraid it's going to be pretty slow and seeing much improvement there. I mean, yes, we're starting from near zero levels, but even then, I think the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates at a very deliberate pace, very slowly, and so that corresponds to pretty slow and modest improvements in your CDs, your savings accounts, and also, a lot of banks aren't necessarily going to feel compelled to raise their payouts right away simply because they have so much money on deposit already. So I think it's really important just to come back to our mantra this afternoon is shop around. You've got to shop around for the top-yielding accounts. We have a free search engine at bankrate.com for this as well. The top-yielding savings accounts right now are earning over 1%. It may not sound like much, but that could easily be 100 times what you're earning at your local bank. There's a big disparity.
Wow.
Exploit that disparity by shopping around.
What about bonds?
I think bond investors are going to get a rude wake-up call if interest rates start to rise, because a lot of those prices of those bonds are going to fall. And many investors have actually piled into bonds because they think, well, that's safe, I'm not going to have any risk. Well, it may not be a risk of default, but there is interest rate risk. When interest rates go up, bond prices go down. So a lot of investors, I think, are going to get a rude awakening, particularly in the second half of the year, as interest rates go up. A lot of that so-called safe money they thought they had in bonds and bond mutual funds, when they pull out their account statements in the third and fourth quarter, I think they're going to have their eyes open for them a bit. So I'd be cognizant of that going in. You want to make sure that your investment allocation is appropriate for that and resist any knee-jerk reactions when the time comes.
I hear you. And basically, that's what you're saying in terms of all of the talk about the raising of the interest rates, that it's going to be moderate, slow, long-term. Don't panic.
Yeah, don't panic. I mean, I think there are some opportunities to take advantage of now, certainly, like refinancing the mortgage, doing the balance transfer to that low-rate balance transfer offer on the credit card, rejiggering your portfolio now to make sure that you're properly set up for an environment where interest rates do go up. But all told, when interest rates start to go up, I think the important backdrop people have to have is that the reason it's happening is because the U.S. economy is getting better. And particularly in the stock market, you'll see a lot of volatility this year, a lot of ups and downs. But if interest rates are going up, it's because the economy is getting better. And it's that better economy that's ultimately good for corporate profits and stock prices. So just buckle the seatbelt and hang in there.
I like clench on with your fingernails and don't let go. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Well, the volatility in the stock market is a little startling, but as long as it keeps going up, that's kind of a good thing, too.
But you got to be in it to win it. And I think that's the main thing is, don't panic and sell in a knee-jerk reaction. If you're, if you're buckled in and you're going to ride it out, that's how you're going to come out ahead.
Yeah. And so anyway, again, bankrate.com, you've got a ton of consumer information there.
Yes, absolutely. And everything I mentioned today, all the search engines, all the content, all the calculators, everything free to the consumer.
Okay. And that is a good source of information. And, that's something that really does help us, because when we start looking at costs of loans, all of that sort of stuff, using calculators, it gives us a great base. Greg, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, listeners. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest right here on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. And my guest has been Greg McBride. He is the Chief Financial Analyst for Bankrate.com. I'm Shirley Rooker. You can reach me at shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.